Hey everybody, I just wanted to let you know that this episode was recorded on the road. I have a mobile setup, so it sounds different than the typical recording studio in my office. And given that, there's going to be a lot of things, kind of ambient sound that I can't get rid of, but my kids did want to be included in the review, so they are. It's a lot of fun. I'm really grateful that they wanted to talk to me about the movie. So I wanted to give you a heads up, but other than that, it's the same fun film realist content you can expect. Let's cue up the intro right now.
Good evening, good afternoon, good morning, or whenever you happen to be listening to this. Welcome to the Film Reels Podcast. The film and TV podcast from a complete nobody that is hopefully for somebody.
Welcome to episode 192, where on this week's episode of the show, I am going to be reviewing Hoppers, the latest film from Pixar, but I am joined by my lovely children.
Sawyer. Melody.
So you guys are going to join me for full spoilers so I can do all the boring non-spoiler stuff, right?
Right.
Okay, so I'm going to get into the non-spoiler section of the review, and then they'll be back for full spoilers because Sawyer cannot wait to talk about this. Am I correct?
Yes.
All right, so time codes will be listed in the description should you want to hop around. So let's get into the non-spoiler section, and then the fun will get started. Sawyer, should we jump into non-spoilers?
Yes.
All right, let's do that.
First, tell me what this is.
Okay. We call it Hoppers.
Hoppers?
Mm-hmm. We use a proprietary mind-casting apparatus to hop or inhabit a lifelike replica.
I don't know what that means.
We put this into this.
Yes.
This into this.
This into this.
This into this.
This into this.
One of the touchstones of Pixar films is different things getting emotions, and it's obviously continued through most of their films. Hoppers is a unique film that, ironically, is an incredibly conventional idea, but it is the Pixar studio, Pixar strategies, the characteristics of all of the different artists that work there that make it Pixar films. They're a studio that has set the bar for family animation. I don't like just calling it children's films. If you're a longtime listener of the podcast, you would know that's because these movies are designed to work for everyone. Yes, obviously children are in mind when that comes to the ratings that they're given, but they need to work for adults. Not in the same way that DreamWorks sort of revolutionized children's films in the early 2000s, having adult jokes. Pixar has, for the most part, stayed true to what makes Pixar, Pixar. And of course, there have been instances where the studio has made films that don't necessarily meet their own standard. And it's been interesting to see the evaluation of Hoppers in general. It's an original idea that specifically using a surrogate body in terms of the Pixar strategy, because more often than not, Pixar films are films that are more based in the emotional, I don't want to say supernatural, but imaginative capabilities, whether that be something is alive or understanding the sentience behind an object. We're not necessarily told how the toys can be alive or that the fish have emotions. It's more so just about the characters of the film and the message behind it. And Hoppers might be one of the movies that is most blatant with its ideas, but that's not necessarily a criticism. What I really appreciate about this movie is that we get to see more of a representative of someone who exists now, where for a long time, the human portrayal within Pixar films did sort of feel like it was idealistic to growing up in the 50s and the 60s, at least the way in which they were portrayed, and that likely had to do a lot with who were the minds behind those scripts, the early days of Pixar, which were much more of the golden era of sort of when children became to have their own identity. Now we're getting filmmakers, writers, and actors who grew up with Pixar. Toy Story came out over 30 years ago, and now we have a group of creative people who are used to this studio existing. They are not the founders of it. There's a whole new perspective. And you can see that in Hoppers. It's much more meta in the way that it addresses its characters' conversations. There's, I would say, even more so than before, there's an exaggerated nature to which the humans behave because they aren't having to be the stand-in or the basis, the straight man for the jokes. You have the human characters having to fill the screen as opposed to what was for so long inanimate objects that were alive. And in this film, we get something ironically that is similar to a Disney animated film where we have a human being inhabiting an animal. We have Mabel, who is in the body of a robotic beaver, trying to solve a problem, which is the nature around her and animals are no longer there. And she's somebody who loves the wildlife, sees the importance of nature. And what's so funny to me about watching this movie is it feels much more in this modern era of Pixar. It's been regarded as maybe the funniest Pixar film. And I, spoilers for spoilers, I talk about that with my own kids. But there's this habit that has clearly happened to the film going audience where we're now expecting to watch these things at home. The visual masterpiece that Pixar and all of these other animation studios are capable of needs to be seen on the big screen. And while I didn't necessarily think Hoppers was one of Pixar's best, it by far superseded my expectations because I'm not going to lie, the trailers weren't really working for me. Don't get me wrong. I love the idea, specifically now where climate change is happening more and more. We're seeing even more extreme examples of extreme weather, whether that be ice storms. If you're a longtime listener of the show, an ice storm took out my power for over a week, and I had to rely on complete mobile instruments to get the podcast out there, as well as flooding, temperatures rising, or on the flip side of that, because of climate change, extreme cold. There's been so many snowstorms recently, and Pixar's evaluation of how to use contemporary information but delivering it through a meaningful story is still present here. Some of my least favorite Pixar films are films like Onward. I wouldn't say Soul is something that is one of their worst, but my expectations for that were so high given how much I loved Inside Out. I would say it's really interesting that Elio and Hoppers really do feel akin to similar mindsets, this idea of loneliness and wanting to find community out there. Domi Shi, who of course worked on Turning Red, which I adored, didn't work on this. Hoppers was directed by Daniel Chong. And Mabel as a main character is somebody that I think a lot of kids will find it easy to relate to. She's somebody whose life has been completely alone and very limiting into where she had community. And this character, watching the trailers, clearly feels passionately about certain things. And we're dealing with, more so than ever, emotional regulation being a substantial, significant part of the conversation around parenting or behavior in social settings. And those elements are present in the movie. It's a very real-world film, more than I think any other Pixar films have been to date. And some people might not necessarily enjoy that. There is a balance to be had when you are addressing really contemporary problems in an animated film. There is the possibility that in the near future, it might feel dated. You're not dealing with more grand ideas, trying to deliver messages. Ironically, it always does for me go back to the Inside Out, but exploring the meaning of the importance of every emotion, and then Inside Out 2 really dealing with the complexity of emotions that you feel as you are growing up through puberty and becoming an adult. And Hoppers is really baked in that idea of the substantial impact of decisions and how it affects those around you, more so in a naturalistic standpoint. What does development and gentrification do? And this movie deals with that. It's very reminiscent to me of films that I, in my own life, grew up with, which remembering things like Fern Gully or The Land Before Time. Not that these are at all similar to Don Bluth films or anything of the mid-90s, but there is something that does feel inherently familiar. I do think the movie is fun. It manages to really nail that emotional gut punch that you would expect from a studio like Pixar. It does feel as if this was an idea that was probably brewing for a long time. I don't necessarily remember when this was said to be in development. It goes back to, it looks like at least 2020, when Daniel Chung had this idea. And I like the idea of exploring something that is easy for kids to understand. That has been one of the best aspects of the storytelling that Pixar has managed to do, which is delivering things that are important messages or ideas that you may not necessarily have in your everyday life. We have Greta Thunberg out there talking about the importance of climate change and protecting the earth. It's the place we live in. We don't really have anywhere else to go. And it doesn't feel as if it's condescending with its message. It's still just fun. I like the characters in this. There's a lot of societal exploration, whether that be the idea of a monarchy or a democracy, which is really funny. If you look at through the clips of this, and it's funny to me seeing retrospectively what is in the trailers that does really tease what a grand world they build out for this movie. It's much more complicated than I would have given it credit for. If you are a fan of Pixar and you enjoy their movies, this is, for me, one of the better original movies that they've made. Obviously, I know people are kind of bummed on the idea that even a studio like Pixar that was just original film after original film is going to be making sequels, and we're getting Toy Story 5 this year. But if this is an opportunity for part of the studio, or at least a portion of the studio, to tell an original story, I'm glad that it's a movie like this, quite frankly. It feels like it has something to say. And I do think that aspect of family-friendly entertainment shouldn't be lost. There are so much junk out there. I saw a trailer, I'm just going to say it, leading up to this movie that was for the next Minions, which I don't think is going to have anything substantially important to offer, but Hoppers does do that. I like Mabel as a main character, and the supporting cast in this film is really funny. And it's a movie I'm really looking forward to watching it back to see if there's any more sort of built into the relationships that maybe I didn't catch the first time. Pixar is so good at making rewatches feel even more important than the first one. But overall, my kids really enjoyed it. You're going to hear what they thought in the spoiler section of this review. Pixar still managing to be the number one studio when it comes to family-friendly entertainment. Of course, there are other studios working on other things. DreamWorks has been knocking out of the park lately with Puss in Boots, The Last Wish, and The Wild Robot. Now we know the sequel is finally in active development, The Wild Robot Escapes. Not to mention the Spider-Verse films, of course. I'm so happy when family-friendly entertainment is treated seriously and not considered to be just junk food. I was fearful with the amount of movies that Pixar is now expected to be making, where we're going to be getting a film essentially every year, which has not necessarily been what the studio has done all the time. At least one film. Hopefully they don't completely burn out their creatives, because I liked Hoppers a lot, but I would really like something in their near future. I know Toy Story 5, I'm going to like it. They have not dropped the ball with that studio at all. Gato is coming out, and then we're getting more Pixar sequels. I do hope, given the theatrical climate, they're still given the opportunity to see more movies. I know that the box office for this did better than people were suspecting, which is great, because it is an original film, and original films need to be seen. It said that this is the record for Pixar's original movies in the last 9 years, which is great to hear, because Disney built an expectation during the pandemic and post-pandemic that their films are going to be on streaming quickly. And I hope they don't do that. Go see something in the theaters. I don't really have any more to say. I'm looking forward to all the listeners hearing what my lovely film realist junior critics had to say about the movie. I would recommend it. I love Pixar. I will never not see one of their movies unless they give me a reason to not see the movie. But yeah, it's a win for me, and I'm looking forward to watching it again in the near future.
We are your friends, Red Heart. Your life is in danger. You must do exactly as we say, Harry. LOL, I mean Jerry.
You know my name? Oh no. Wait, what? Is this about the dam? Are you here for revenge? What do you want?
Relax, bro. Just drive to the glade. Cancel your dumb highway, and no one will get hurt.
Now, one of the questions I wanted to ask the both of you before we get into spoilers is, I think you've seen every single Pixar film. So your Toy Stories, your Finding Nemo's. Where would you say Hoppers is? Do you think it is one of your favorites? Melody, let's start with you.
Yes.
Sawyer, do you think Hoppers is one of your favorites?
My first favorite.
Wow. Now, we've just seen it. All four of us went. Mom came too, correct?
Yeah.
And this was one of the movies that you hadn't even seen the trailer for, but you were excited about the idea. I kept saying groundhog, and it obviously wasn't a groundhog. Sawyer, what kind of animal was Mabel?
It was a beaver.
It was a beaver. So let's get into your favorite parts. This is full spoilers, so if you listen to the non-spoilers, all of the plot parts are going to be revealed, any twists, because, you know, they're film realist junior critics, so we're going to not pretend that they're going to hold in the spoilers. Sawyer, we're going to start with you, and then we'll get to you. Is that okay, Melody?
Yeah.
Yep. So, Sawyer, what was some of your favorite parts of Hoppers?
My favorite part was when they were breaking the dam to flood the forest to put out the fire so they didn't wreck the forest.
The importance of the glade to Mabel is one of the most important aspects of the film. She's trying to protect this area that her and her grandma visited. I really like that we got to see a grandparent in the story a lot. More often than not, there's a parent who's missing, but in this version, we get to see somebody whose grandparent was really important to them. Melody, did you like the relationship between Mabel and her grandma?
Yeah, she wanted to see her every single day because there was this big glade that they went to see together every single day because there was loads of animals and they could see a dam, but eventually it got blown up with TNT.
Well, and that's one of the major conflicts is Mabel growing up with her grandma loves nature. I know you two love nature as well, and the big conflict that Mabel has is with the mayor who's trying to build a highway. Now, we all understand that highways are important, but if you're destroying the habitat of wildlife, that's really dangerous. And what Sawyer's talking about, I think, is a really important aspect of the movie as well, which is the conclusion, and then we'll probably get back to the beginning, is after a conflict with the caterpillar, who then became a butterfly,
yes,
who then became a human, causes a massive wildfire, and the only way for them to put out the fire is for everybody to work together, which I like as one of the messages in the story. We know that Mabel feels alone, especially after her grandmother died, and the fun of seeing Mabel as a human working with the other animals helps them solve the problem. Sawyer, are they able to put out the fire?
Yes, because they can flood the forest to put out the fire.
Because there were a ton of fire trucks, and they couldn't put out the fire, could they?
No, and even though it looks like there was over 1,000 fire trucks, but there wasn't. There was like 5 of them or so.
And they just couldn't put the fire out, and all of the humans were in danger of the fire. Now we've talked about the conclusion. I want to go back to the beginning, which is an aspect that I found interesting about the movie is, I don't believe you two have seen Elio yet, have you?
We have. We watched it at Sabrina's concert.
Oh, did you? Okay. But in Elio feels alone. He can't connect to his mom. And it's only after going into outer space that him and his mom are able to connect. Mabel being somebody who loves animals, and I know we talked about this afterwards, one of the funniest parts of the film for me was our introduction to Mabel, which is quite hilarious. What is Mabel trying to do as an elementary school student, Melody?
She's trying to save all the animals because they have class pets, And all the students aren't treating the class pets very nicely.
No, we get to meet a turtle. There's a guinea pig. What, were there birds as well, Sawyer?
Yeah, there was red bird and yellow bird. Yeah.
And a yellow bird. And so Mabel clearly has a connection to nature, and that's something that bonds her and her grandmother. And at some point in her life, her parents even move away, and she doesn't go with them. She stays with her grandma. And I like that so much because it shows the different impacts you can have with the different generations in your family. But Mabel eventually loses her grandma, even wearing her coat to remember her. And we see that Mabel is trying to protect this place that's so important to her. But on the flip side of that, something that does have to happen with humans is we develop them. And does she want to lose the glade where she spent all this time with her grandma?
No.
No, she doesn't. And eventually what we learn through the humans, specifically Mabel, trying to figure out exactly where all the animals have gone. Because the mayor, Jerry, has been told by the state he's allowed to build this highway as long as there's no animals there, because then they wouldn't be destroying anybody's habitat. But all the animals are gone. Why are all the animals gone, Sawyer?
Because, well, the mayor was... He made fake trees made out of metal that had electricity in them, and he made a noise that only animals could hear.
Yeah, he was using this one metal tree essentially as a pest control problem. It was forcing all the animals away. And we only learn about this after what is, of course, in the trailer. Mabel is now in the body of a robot beaver. Now, I don't remember in the trailers if it said it's a robot. That part I don't remember, but it was something that I wasn't suspecting. And Mabel uses becoming a beaver to draw a beaver to live in the glade, because beavers apparently are vital for the habitat and the ecosystem of the glade. And Mabel learns, as well as us, the audience, that there is a society of mammals living around the glade, and we meet one of our most important characters, which is the king,
George.
And what do we learn about George and his family?
He believes that there's good in everybody deep down, even though they make the worst choices they think of.
And one of the main relationships for Mabel as an animal is she breaks what's called a pond rule after preventing a bear from eating a beaver. Because we know that bears, they eat smaller mammals, right, Sawyer?
Yes. And also, when he was trying to do that, it's kind of a connection to Elio, because they have an sexual connection, because they both go somewhere that's not their family.
That's a very, very good point. And what we get to see through Mabel's eyes, because it is a robot beaver, is there is a whole hierarchy, and there's even a council of other animals. But we don't get to see the other species till later. And Mabel starts to finally feel a part of a community, something she's never been a part of, because when we saw her as a child, she's by herself. Her parents don't really seem to understand her. That's why she lives with her grandma. But when she's an animal, she feels a part of this society. But what's interesting is the animals just seem to, because of their relationship with what humans do to nature, to move on. They just sort of ignore the problem, and they go and they live somewhere else, which is why a different glade, or the large pond where all the animals have gone, is very populated. We even have what's probably got to be the biggest beaver dam I think I've ever seen, don't you think?
Yeah, it's like hill and then like a big mountain on top of it.
And that introduced us to King George, who I think, Sawyer, your favorite part had to be when they do the dance to the speaker, right?
Yes. And also, well, when the mayor blew up the dam, there were still animals living there. He just didn't know because he'd never seen the animals there.
Yeah, there's a lot of fire and dynamite in this movie. I think it might be, now you two would have to tell me, maybe one of the scarier Pixar films, specifically when Titus becomes a robot human to pretend to be the mayor so that way he could hurt the humans, which is not a good message. Do we hurt somebody if they hurt us?
No.
No, but he wants to use the speakers that Jerry had put to drive even more animals away, because Mabel knocks down the one tree, and what does Jerry do, Sawyer?
He puts up even more trees than one.
He does. He puts, it looks at least to be 10 or 12.
Five.
More, I think it's more than five. But they're surrounding the glade, and Titus, in the fake body of the mayor, is going to try to hurt all of the humans. And it's especially terrifying, I think, for some people, you two are going to have to let me know, about when his robot skin comes off and he's just a robot face. What did you think about that?
That's kind of creepy, but it's kind of nice how he couldn't get into his phone to bust up them.
Why couldn't he get into his phone?
Because a robot face isn't his real face.
That's true. So that's Face ID is used quite a bit in this movie, which I thought was very funny. I really enjoyed when they're sitting in Jerry's car and the way to communicate with Jerry is text-to-speech. And of course, Mabel being a human would know exactly how to use that. And then all the other animals try to use the phone and what happens, Melody?
They just do a bunch of emojis. Beaver, beaver, beaver. Chopped wood, chopped wood, chopped wood. Potato, lizard, lizard, lizard.
Yeah, the other animals, they're a lot of fun. I liked the beavers. I liked the bear. The lizard was quite funny. He was in the movie a lot. And then, of course, we had all of the different council of creatures. I personally was quite shocked when Mabel accidentally squished the butterfly queen, the queen of the insects. That was a twist that I did not see coming.
Nope.
No, it's quite interesting to see the politics of how this works. Now, you two will have no reference for this whatsoever, but it really did remind me. There's a lot of Game of Thrones references in this, which I found very funny. There's a couple really interesting needle drops. I don't know necessarily if it's the funniest Pixar movie that they've done since Inside Out. Now, I think it would be fascinating for the two of you. We're going to stop, and I'm going to pull up a list, and I would like you to tell me what you think is your favorite Pixar movie since Inside Out 1. Are you up for that?
Yep.
Sora, are you up for that?
No.
What? Well, we're going to do it anyways. So what's really interesting is Inside Out 1, I can't believe it's 11 years old, and we're now here in 2026 with Hoppers. Now, looking at the list, let's zoom in so it's a little easier to read. We have Inside Out 1, The Good Dinosaur, Finding Dory, Coco, Cars 3, Incredibles 2, Toy Story 4, Onward, Soul, Luca, Turning Red, Lightyear, Elemental, Inside Out 2, and Elio. Now, not including Inside Out 1, Melody, what do you think is your favorite and or the funniest Pixar movie since Inside Out 1?
Toy Story 3.
Well, Toy Story 3 is, we're going down, kiddo. So this way, not up. So after Inside Out.
Turning Red.
Turning Red is one of my favorites too. I think specifically because we are obviously just outside of Toronto and knowing so much about that. We've been to some of those locations. That's, you know what, that's definitely on my list as well. Sawyer, what do you think your favorite Pixar movie is after Inside Out 1?
Before I get into the list, I want to talk about a little bit more of the movie because it also was kind of rude what the fake mayor did because he just made a little adjustments to the speakers and then they could squash the humans.
Well, and we can talk about it here. They maybe can't say it in the movie. What do they mean when they say squash?
Bust their ears.
They do. They want to cause real pain to the humans because Titus is a bug, and unfortunately, what do people do sometimes with bugs, which are often pests?
Squash them.
They squash them, yeah. It's an unfortunate circumstance in the circle of life, which is not a Pixar thing, but it's a Disney thing. So move after Inside Out, Sawyer. So you've got The Good Dinosaur, Finding Dory, Coco. Which one would you say is your favorite going to Hoppers?
I haven't seen the dinosaur movie, okay. But I think I mostly like Elemental. Is that in the list?
Yes. Elemental's the one that I think personally is criminally underrated. There's a lot of sequels in here, and I understand that. This is a circumstance of what's happening with Pixar and all the other studios. We get a lot of sequels. Turning Red and Elemental, I commend both of you for that because both of those are original films. I liked Hoppers quite a bit. I do think it's fun. I do think it sort of winds up kind of in the middle of the Pixar films. There's some really heavy hitting emotional moments. It is quite funny. At the end of the day, this is an original property. So if you want to have fun with that, I know we all had a blast. Would you recommend, Melody, people go see Hoppers?
5-star rating? Absolutely.
5 stars. That is quite the review. Sawyer, do you think people should go see Hoppers?
100 stars, yes.
100 stars. That's 20 times how many you need to give. I would recommend this. I really do hope that, specifically with Disney on Pixar films, that people go out to see the original stuff. I know we're so used to them showing up on Disney+. We watched Soul, we watched Onward, we watched Luca and Turning Red all on Disney+, because that was the only way that we could. But now, these beautifully animated films are on the big screen, and that's where they deserve to be seen. So the three of us, we recommend you check out Hoppers. Now let's get to listener mail and question of the week responses.
Can I ask you a question?
Just one?
There's something of a need to ask you.
I ask the questions, you answer the questions.
Why do you ask questions to which you already know the answers?
Did that count as a question?
Yes.
Damn it.
Last week's question of the week was, what is your favorite Universal monster? Scotty Cameron writes in, so Scream 7 took that terrible voice replicator plot device from Scream 3 and applied it to deepfakes. That's pretty lazy. My favorite Universal monster is probably Count Dracula, because he is the king of the vampires. I also love the historical elements to Dracula, being Vlad Dracul, Vlad the Impaler, reincarnated as an undead vampire hell-bent on world domination. But I'll give Frankenstein's monster an honorable mention. Frankenstein was the scientist. Victor Frankenstein was the what? Oh, sorry, Victor Frankenstein, read the book. Yes, of course. Dylan writes in, favorite Universal monster? If I think of just one of the original movies I do really enjoy, it's the Wolfman. I also find it hilarious that rather than biting or clawing, he just thrashes people around for a bit and then throws them on the ground. Absolutely true. I think that's really funny. But of course, it was an element of the time. It's fascinating how much pop culture has used these things. Because they have no copyright, they are free to use. Dracula, Wolfman, Frankenstein's monster have been in so many things. One of my favorite guilty pleasure movies, I know it is absolutely terrible, is Hugh Jackman's Van Helsing. I just adored getting to see all those monsters together. It's like Monster Squad, directed by Steven Sommers, and it's a really good time, even though it's a very terrible movie. Thank you to everybody who answered the question of the week. Now for this week's question of the week. It's so easy, and I know that it's so easy, but the question is, what anime do you actually want to see in live action? This is inspired by, of course, One Piece Season 2 or One Piece Into the Grand Line. I absolutely loved the first season, having never seen any of the anime, and I'm really looking forward to the second season. It comes out on a Tuesday, so it gives you plenty of time to watch all 8 episodes before listening to my review, which will be next week's. If you haven't yet, please 5-star the podcast on your preferred podcast platform. If you want to go the extra step, subscribe on YouTube, where you can see all of my trailer reactions, editorial shorts, and of course the video version of the podcast, which may or may not just be 4 or 5 JPEGs. If you are interested in seeing the podcast in video form, let me know, because it is something I am considering doing in the future. If I happen to have the time, it might not be an every week thing. It might be just when there's a special guest, but it is something that I am thinking about. So let me know. Comment below. Did you see Hoppers? Let me know what you thought of the film. Thank you to everybody for listening. My name is Kyle Naranya, and I will see you next time.